This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Throw caution to the wind, I say. Live today like it's your last, Jim.
Yeah?
You never know when the Earth is going to be hit by a giant asteroid that sneaks up on us. That was a close one, huh?
What?
You don't know? An asteroid the size of a 747 barely missed Earth last week. Barely missed.
Glad I didn't know.
100,000 miles away from us. That's in space terms. that's a close call.
I guess you're right, but that's still, I mean, I think the moon is 3,000 miles away. No, wait, 30,000 miles away. So that's three times as far as the moon.
100,000 miles from here. Giant asteroid. No one saw it coming because it came from the direction of the sun. And for obvious reasons, harder to spot when that happens.
Is that for real? But that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was coming at us like the sun was behind it,
sure,
so you couldn't
sure.
see it.
It's like staring into headlights.
You got it.
Yeah.
You'd rather not know if an asteroid was going to wipe us all out. When would you want to know, if at all, that was going to happen? 5 minutes before? A week before?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. You know, I'm going to take that back. I think I would. Because, you know, if it for sure was going to hit the planet, I would want to get my affairs in order and do a couple things I've been putting off.
Like what?
Telling my family I love them, you know, things like that. Having a last beer with you, you know, whatever. Whatever you would do on your last day on Earth, you know, you would try to do. Go find a sunset to watch.
I thought you meant finish renovating the bathroom.
Yeah. finally cut the grass. I think I would like to know within 48 hours. That's all I need.
Maybe you should just tell your family you love them now.
But then, nah, I want a dramatic moment.
It won't mean as much.
Yeah.
If you tell them now, imminent death needs to be raging towards us from the direction of the sun.
Like if I told my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, I love you. Did you cut the grass?
No, but it's next on my list.
I'm getting my affairs in order. Haven't you heard the asteroid's coming?
My wife was pressuring me last night, Jim. I didn't like it. She was pressuring me.
In what way?
Trying to force me to do something against my will.
That's no good.
Turn on the furnace.
It's that time. It's almost that time.
I refused.
Man.
I'm like, there's extra blankets in the walk-in closet. I will get them for you, but I will not turn on the furnace.
Sure.
Until October.
Grab a hoodie.
Please don't say yes, because then she's just going to win the argument.
No, I also said no, because it's like...
Sarah want to turn it on, though?
Well, yeah.
She brought it up.
She didn't strongly bring it up yet, but yeah, the house in the morning is like 17 degrees. And then by the end of the day, it's like 21, 22 in there with no artificial furnace or AC. And that's totally amazing. But I'm not ready for the out of principle alone. I'm not ready to turn the furnace on.
Yeah. A cover up. I've got a cover that I got to put on the air conditioning unit, I guess.
Yeah. I just put an old piece of plywood over top.
Beautiful.
Gets her
done.
Whatever
works. And then you got to change the filter in the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Good time to do it when
sure.
you're about to, you know, all that grossness, get it out of there, get the clean one in. Yeah, it doesn't happen till October. Sorry, honey. Maybe I'll buy her a nice pair of wool socks on the way home today from work.
Sure. Yeah, some alpaca socks.
How blue do the kids have to turn before you turn the heat on?
There should be a paint swatch.
little snot icicles hanging from their noses. Maybe it is time to turn the furnace on. Kudos to the crossing guard at my son's elementary school. I went to pick up my boy from kindergarten yesterday. I'm walking up to the school. You know, mid-afternoon, I'll take a nap from time to time. Did that yesterday afternoon. So I was a bit scrambled to leave the house and go pick up my kid. I'm walking across the street, almost stepping foot onto school property, and the crossing guard's like, hey, your fly's down.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, thank you. Did it up.
The crossing guard's got his eyes peeled for everything, eh?
He's a hero. Because the last thing you want to do is walk onto a elementary school property with your fly down.
Yeah, not a good vibe to put out.
No. Not many people around, but I appreciated it. You know, even if there was a few more people who heard him say it, I'd rather him tell me than to just keep walking around with my my fly open.
Of course, yeah.
Apologies to Joey's mom, who got a good chuckle out of it.
All been there.
Yeah, she was walking past, crossing the street, and she heard him say, "Your fly's down," and I heard her laugh, but... You know, that's a minimal damage.
Mm-hmm. At least you had pants on, Taz. You know, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Anyways, you're a hero, crossing guard. You know who you are. Time for sports. We are joined by Devin Peacock from Global News Radio. NHL training camps are underway. Any exciting gossip coming out of training camp, Dev?
Well, the most excitement these days comes from watching the Buffalo Sabres season implode before it even begins. Because Jack Eichel failed his physical the other day and has now been stripped of his captaincy with the team, which is not a complete surprise considering he wants out. The Sabres were looking to trade him over the summer. And so you can't have a captain who can't play, is injured, and wants out, and you've looked to trade.
I think even just not wanting to play for the team and voicing that opinion publicly would be a good reason to strip someone of the C.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, if I were Eichel and the Sabres, even if you both want to have this move on and end, it is in both of their best interests for him to be playing for Buffalo right now. The issue is he has a herniated disc. The Sabres want him to have surgery to fix it. He wants to replace the disc, and they have not come together on how to treat his injury. And so until that is rectified, his trade value is next to nothing. The Sabres want a lot for him because he is a great player. But you're not going to get what you want if he's not on the...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ice. And so if I were both sides, I'd want to get on the ice, establish his value, then trade him. So then he can go to a place he wants. The Sabres can get something in return for their captain. But as it stands right now, it's just the hottest of messes. And Eichel just seems to me like, if I'm another team, do I want this guy who is just so pig-headed on my team? My answer is no.
Taz and Jim here with you. You can call or text anytime if you want to get in touch with us, 1-833-829-6546. And Jim, this is a very nice note to get on a Friday. We just received a text message. It says, "Hey Jim, I'm the guy that used to panhandle with that weed sign. I just wanted to give you an update on how I am these days. Do you remember the guy who panhandled with the weed sign?"
I do. I remember I asked him if I could take his picture, and he showed it. It said, like, "Not going to lie, it's for weed," or something. Some sort of funny joke at an intersection.
Yeah, he had a hook.
On his sign. Yeah, yeah, it was something. I was like, okay, if you're going to panhandle, at least have a clever sign. This guy's got it.
Being honest. "I was a guy who panhandled with the weed sign, wanted to update you on how I am these days. I now have a full-time job as a janitor. I love it. Thanks to you and Taz for giving me hope that there's better ways of making money out there."
Love it. Because he called into our show.
Yeah, it and gave us like behind the scenes of what it's like to be a panhandler.
Yeah, yeah. And then he would FaceTime me on Facebook, and for whatever reason, I would answer. And I would get updates on his life. And he had a job at Subway at some point. Didn't last very long, but sounds like he's back on the straight and narrow and things are going good. It's awesome.
Panhandle, sandwich artist. Now he is a maintenance person.
Master of the custodial arts.
You got it. Nice job. Panhandler Peter. Thank you for sending us that update.
Now we need a new name.
Now we need a new panhandler.
I was going to say a new updated nickname, but yeah, we need to fill the panhandle void here on the show.
We don't have a panhandler to talk to anymore. This week, Survivor returned for a new season.
Season 41, if you can believe it.
Come on.
Season 41.
How old does that make me? 86?
72. Because the first one was in 2000, the year 2000.
And they'll do two seasons a year.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Got it. Something like that.
It was a big year.
You were just telling me something off the air, and I said, well, hold on, explain this, because you're very passionate about what happened on Survivor this week, and I love it when you get a little worked up.
Well, I just find, you know, certain people, it's the woke culture that people are complaining about right now, and that's what Twitter was complaining about after this episode. It doesn't really bother me, but it makes me roll my eyes, and it was funny because I thought we avoided it halfway through the episode, and then it came back later in the episode. So what happened is Jeff Probst has a catchphrase, which I was unaware of. I didn't even know it was a catchphrase, but his catchphrase is, "Come on in, guys!"
At Tribal Council.
When they first land on the island, he says that, and then every Tribal Council, he says that as well.
Yeah, come on in, and everyone walks in with their torches, and then they vote someone out, right? Mm-hmm. Come on in, guys.
So at the start of this season, he addresses the crew and the cast, and he says, "Hey, guys, do you know my favorite phrase? What is it?" And they're like, "Oh, come in, guys!" They all say it at the same time, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, it's 2021. I'm just wondering, are you guys comfortable?" I don't know if he said guys in that moment, but he said, "Are you people comfortable with me saying, come on in, guys, you know, in 2021.
Is it not gender inclusive? Yeah. Is that the concern?
So the camera's panning around. You know, it's about 50-50 men and women. The camera's panning around. None of the women have a problem. And there's a woman named Evie on there who I am rooting for. She's on my list in a pool I'm in. And she's goes by queer is how she identifies.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, as a queer woman, I have no problem with it. I love the phrase. I think the term guys is inclusive, and I'm all for it. So Jeff Probst is like, come on in, guys, it is, woo! So everybody on Twitter is like, whew, thank God, I thought we were going to have to like have a woke moment there, but we're still good. And then so everybody's going on. A day goes by, and another guy pipes up before the challenge, and he says, hey, Jeff, sorry, yesterday... This is a contestant. His name is Ricard. He is a gay man. He talks about his husband, who's pregnant right now. So he's dealt with his own amount of prejudice in his life, so you can see where he's coming from. And so he goes, you know, yesterday there was a lot happening. I don't like the term guys. I don't think it's inclusive. I disagree with the other 29 people on the cast.
So did Probst say, all right?
So Probst goes, okay, I guess... he says, I'll change it to come on in. No big deal either way. I don't care any one way or the other. But not 5 minutes later in the show, Ricard, the guy who said he doesn't like the term guys, used the term guys to address a man and a woman simultaneously. The audio is not great here, but this is when it happened. You guys on the left? Terrible audio. But he said, you guys on the left? And he's talking to a man and a woman as they were trying to paddle. So... do you truly hate the word guys? I mean, we all, at this point, we all know it's like y'all to the vast majority of people. It's gender neutral. It doesn't specifically mean men. I mean, I see women saying it to each other all the time. Hey, guys, come on in, whatever. But
if you're going to say you're offended by it, then you can't use it 10 minutes later when you're paddling a canoe.
It just seems a little disingenuous.
Right.
But I don't
know. Could be part of his strategy.
Could be. He does seem like he's going to be, like, they're kind of already, this the camera angles they choose for this guy. He's always, like, listening and watching. I think they're going to angle him as, like, because he's already kind of conniving. He's already manipulating people. So I think maybe they're already trying to angle him as, like,
a villain.
Yeah, or somewhat sneaker. Manipulative.
He's a sneaker.
Yeah. But to each his own, but from now on, by the way, this was the name of the most popular Survivor podcast, Come On In Guys, I guess. So they have to change the name of their podcast. It's just a whole thing now.
After 180 seasons of Jeff Probst saying, come on in guys, it's over.
The one thing you can't survive is the word guys.
Jim, I saw you post this headline on our Facebook page a couple days ago, and you just sent me the article again, so I feel like you want to talk about it.
I didn't actually read the article when I just posted the headline, but then I thought the article itself was actually interesting.
So the headline says, companies are so desperate to fill jobs, they're getting rid of drug tests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever had to take a drug test before work, Taz?
No.
A lot of people in the trades have to do it, you know, especially if you go out west and you're doing like, you know, working on the oil rigs or something, some sort of dangerous work. They don't want you impaired.
And around this time, we've got shift workers listening to the show. You're heading into the factory. A lot of big companies will do that. Random drug testing, from what I hear.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, it's all over the place, but they're dropping it now. We all know there's a labor shortage. People are not going back to work after they stopped during COVID. So
hold on. We should be clear. not every company is dropping drug testing. This is not all companies have just gotten together and said no more drug testing. So if you're listening to us right now, don't smoke a giant bowl before you head in today.
Well, yeah, pump the brakes this weekend.
Check with your company to find out what their drug testing policy is. But in general, more companies than ever before are getting rid of drug testing.
Even in Canada, they're even testing for weed anymore. It's all the other ones that are even worse. But there's 9% of companies.
Jim, don't say I don't think there. I know for a fact, I have friends that work for companies and they still test for marijuana,
really?
Even though it's a legal substance. It's legal, but you also can't be drunk at work.
There's a difference of having it in your system after if you smoked a joint 30 days ago and if you're currently high. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm thinking of friends who fly airplanes and stuff like that.
I would prefer them not being high. Ironically, they're in the sky. But yes, I agree. Do not, please don't smoke a joint and fly my plane.
Once again, for liability reasons, check with your company and find out what their specific drug policy is. Don't say Taz and Jim said we're allowed to get high before we go to work now.
As you spark up a joint and blow the smoke in their face. No, actually, it's not that many companies, but at least 9% of companies have decided that it's not worth doing the drug test anymore. In an attempt to get people to come back, they say, we're not doing any more drug screening or anything. Please apply for the job and don't quit if you're currently doing drugs. 69% of employees worldwide are having trouble finding people they need in every country, basically. India, Romania, Singapore, Canada, America, we're all having this same problem. So they're dropping the drug tests. 20% are offering non-financial benefits like extra vacation days.
No.
Day off on your birthday, stuff like that.
Imagine how high you could get with an extra day off. So it's a good time to be looking for a job. And to be high as a kite.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
It's a bad time to be the people who sell the Wizinator.
Oh, yeah. The fake
penises that you fill with clean urine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, still good for a prank, test. But losing its value for sure.
Yeah. If you've got stock in Wizinator,
oh, boy.
Sell now. A year from now, another Super Mario Brothers movie is going to be released, and they just let us know who's in the cast. Pretty star-studded here. Playing Mario, Chris Pratt.
Doesn't sound Italian to me.
Now, before you get too upset, he's just voicing Mario. It's going to be a computer-animated movie.
Okay, that's better. That's better.
But are you joking around? Because there is a backlash online right now because some Italians are very upset that Chris Pratt is going to be playing Mario, an Italian character, and he's not actually Italian.
Neither does the guy who does the voice for Mario in all the video games, also not Italian.
I thought Italians didn't like Mario because they thought he was a stereotype.
You can
a
always
negative stereotype.
Sure some do, but you got to embrace Mario.
Yeah, and then during the Euro Cup, we'd see in the stands, there'd be Italian soccer fans dressed as Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what to think anymore.
They're iconic. I think it's a great thing, but I'm not Italian.
Chris Pratt as Mario. He's got big shoes to fill, Captain Lou Albano. You remember Captain Lou, that Mario show?
It was so bad.
The cartoon.
It was kind of likable, you know?
He looked like Mario, though. He did, indeed.
And
I am happy that this is not a live-action thing with, like, and they're trying to, like, make Mario sexy.
Yeah, and be jacked.
Yeah,
he needs a bit
ripped
of a belly.
Mario.
Yeah.
Maybe Mario starts out as Danny DeVito, and then when he eats a mushroom, he turns into Chris Pratt.
That could work.
Danny DeVito, as far as we know, is not in this movie, but you know who is?
Who?
His best pal on Always Sunny, Charlie Day.
Awesome.
Is going to be the voice of Luigi.
Okay.
You've got Jack Black as Bowser. That could be fun.
Yeah.
The villain.
That's a good fit.
Donkey Kong, Seth Rogen.
Okay. They're really just shoehorning in every famous person here. I don't know.
Yeah, any comedian.
Be a stoner now?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a comedy too. You know, they've got some funny people working on this movie. I know I'm going to have to go see it with my son in the theater, so I'm excited that they've got funny people working on it.
Mm-hmm. I hope they better be doing Italian accents, because Chris Pratt has been in so many animated movies now as the voice. The Lego movie was great, and he was awesome in that, but like, if you're going to be Mario, I want you to be crazy Italian accent Mario.
Well, I don't think he can now because of the backlash. He can't if he does the stereotypical. I'm not even going to do it right now. So I don't want to fan the flames here of this controversy. He can't do the Mario thing, can he? Because he's not Italian.
Sure, sure. But Angelina Jolie wasn't British and she played Laura Croft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
And Bob Hoskins, he was British. And he played Mario.
I've gone cross-eyed. I don't know how this works now.
Thank you very much for checking out the Taz and Jim podcast. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, live on the radio, you can do that on FM 96 in London or Y108 in Hamilton, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 9:30. Or subscribe, keep downloading the podcasts, and we'll keep talking.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.